Thank you for downloading this podcast from Victory Outreach Manchester. We pray that this message will bless your life as you listen.
That calls Victory Outreach their family, or calls Jesus their Lord, or even those that have come to this for the first time. Lord, first of all, I want to commit them to you, to your protection. I pray protection, the blood of Jesus over every household, in the name that is above every name, that no sickness would hit our people, in the name of Jesus. Father, I lift up those that are on the front lines still working. The doctors, the nurses, the care professionals, oh God. The delivery drivers, the workers, God, that are in the supermarkets, that are out, the police, the army. Lord, even the civil servants, someone made mention of that quiet army of civil servants that are there making sure that all the payments go through and everyone can be taken care of. Lord, there are still people that are still brave in this thing, that are still out there doing what it is that needs to be done so that everything doesn't grind to a halt. We pray for them right now in the name of Jesus. We honor them, oh God. Our doctors, our nurses, our frontline workers, we honor them. We pray for those that are in government right now. And we thank you that this is not a time for party politics, but this is a time when a nation and nations must come together, oh God, to join together to defeat this enemy. And Lord, we believe, we trust, oh God, that we will come through this, that our nation will come through this, our nations will come through this, our families will come through this, and your church will come through this time. We give you glory. Lord, Jesus, I just pray right now that, God, we would turn to you like never before. And in this time and through this time, God, may our lives be a reward for your sacrifice. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. I can feel the anointing of God even here right now, and I know that the anointing of the Holy Spirit is going to be right with you in your house. Can you say amen? I want to open up in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, and when I was preparing for this message, the Lord started to speak to my heart, and this verse 1, really puts some things into perspective. It says, for everything there is a season, a time for every activity under heaven. We come to this time in our lives, and you know, who would have thought that we would have come to this New Year's Eve, when you're taking selfies, making resolutions, breaking them, just as soon as you've made them, some of you, and especially me, amen. But who would have thought that this year, 2020, the start of a new decade, that just 3 months in, the world would be on lockdown? But I believe that we have an incredible opportunity today to reset the future. This is just a season, and every season changes at some point. I don't think that when I say resetting the future that we can actually change the destiny of this planet. That's not what I'm talking about. The Bible's clear that God will eventually judge the inhabitants of this world because they've ignored him or they've turned away from him to do their own thing. The Bible's clear. Read throughout the scriptures, especially in the book of Revelation, we see that. So the destiny of this planet is heading towards an ultimate judgment because we have an ultimate lawgiver and judge, and people have turned away to do their own thing, and there is a consequence for that. I'm not saying we're going to reset all of that, and we're going to live in some utopia one day. What I mean is that we can reset our own personal future. And today could be the start of something new within our lives. And all you need to do to reset the future is make a decision in your heart to do it. And let's face it, it looks like we're going to have a lot of time on our hands to be sitting and thinking. Some people are already booking their holidays or their vacations this year, and they're deciding whether to go to the bedroom or the garden in the summer. Is it going to be the kitchen, the bedroom, the living room, or even the garage? Or if they have a shed, then maybe that's a long-distance holiday that they're going to be able to get away to. But we're going to have a lot of time to think, and I'm convinced that God has orchestrated these events because He loves His creation. I'm convinced that we've been caught up in a whirlwind of distraction in our modern lives. And I think that it has subtly shifted our focus from what is truly God to what is merely good. Some things look good, but they're not God. Some things are not truly God, they just look good. And there is a big distraction in our world. And many people today don't even really know what they need to make life rich and full and fulfilling. You've only got to look at the shopping wars. You know, the wars of Lidl's, the wars of Aldi, as they're going to call it in future times. Some of our children, if they ever get back to school, might even be learning about this in their history lessons. The Battle of Tesco's or the toilet roll wars or whatever it is. And I'm not making light of what is happening in this pandemic, but I'm just saying, come on, guys. With these shopping wars, it proves something, right? People stockpiling things that they've probably never, ever used before in those quantities before. Why on earth do you need 16 tins of cream? Why do you need 15 lettuces? Why do you need that? You've never used them before in those quantities. You know, 16, you know, packets of biscuits. Why? And I'll tell you what I think. I think it shows that most people in our modern world don't know how to plan for an uncertain future. They don't know what to do. They don't know what it really means, what is really going to meet their need. And so they panic and they start grabbing at things. And it shows the state of our society right now. We find ourselves in a very surreal time right now. And it seems that nothing is as certain as it was. People are rightly concerned over the future. Already, people in bars and clubs and pubs and restaurants and movie theaters and different places, even churches and charities and different places, are all of a sudden have gone from having a certain future to an uncertain future. The people don't know where they're going to get their wages. And I know that the government has stepped up and they've promised all of these things. And that's great. And we applaud them. But even still, you know, we know that there's going to be blockages and different things that take place. And there is an uncertain future right now. People are rightly concerned. You're the people we want to pray for. You're the people that we want to be in touch with. You're the people that we want to try and help out in whatever way we can. But don't be afraid, because fear will freeze you in place. What we need to do is we need to use this time, this season. Remember, there's a reason for the season. There's a time for everything. And in this season, you've got to know what time it is. Use this time to reevaluate and reset your future. Look at what's important, not just what seems urgent. You know, it makes it so clear sometimes when you can't go out and run around and do all the things that you thought you should be doing. When all of a sudden that's removed, you can actually look at what is important. You can look at your family. You can play games with your kids. You can learn a new language. Maybe you can work out running up and down the stairs. running backwards and forwards to the fridge, who knows, whatever it is that you're going to be doing. But we can use this time to see what's important in our lives. Our health is important. Our freedom is important. You don't realize it until it's taken away from you how important some of those things are. Sort out your real desires, your real motivations. Remember who is there to help you in different ways. My friend, a great friend of mine, Roger Sutton, he said this in a meeting that we had amongst all of the Manchester church leaders on Zoom just this past week. He made a comment and he said, when this is over, people will remember who helped them. People will remember who helped them. Not who had the biggest title, the biggest car, the biggest this or the most that. Unless it's toilet paper. But people will remember who helped them. Very important. Rediscover what makes you feel truly alive. It's at times like these, if you're locked down and you can't do some of the things that you did, that you can actually start to think, what is it that makes me truly alive? When this is over, what are some of the things that I really want to get back and do? Maybe it's going for a run. Maybe it's going to the gym. When the gyms are shut and you can't go, all of a sudden, rediscover those things. And then use this time to remove the things that are unspiritual and negative in your life. Remove them. And then refocus on your God-given calling to share the gospel with everyone that you can and be the light of the world in the midst of this darkness. And then use this time to repent, rethink, shift your thinking. Turn away from your own selfishness and turn to God through Jesus Christ. Repent. And then when you do, you're going to find times of refreshing are going to come upon your life. Things we've taken for granted. Being able to work. Being able to shop normally for things that we need. Or even things that we just want. Or even in some places, being able to just gather together. Things that we've taken for granted, like sending our children to school so that someone else can take care of them and teach them. Now all the kids are off school. Now you've got to try and learn what you didn't learn in school because you didn't learn it in school, but now you're going to have to relearn it. You might come through this season cleverer than you went into it. Praise the Lord. All of these things have seemingly now been taken away from us for a season. In some places, even the freedom to move around or gather together is no longer advised. Or like some places, I've got friends in Italy, I've got friends in Spain, and you can't even go out. In Belgium, they're not even allowing you to go out. These things, when they get taken away, all of a sudden you realize what is truly important. And all because of a tiny ball-shaped virus with crown spikes. It's like a story in a disaster movie. And there are movies out there, Pandemic and this one and The End of the World and, you know, Zombie Flesh Eaters and all the rest of it. And we seem to sometimes be living in a storyline. It's weird. It's strange. I have people asking me, you know, what is going on? And sometimes, I don't know if I'm the same as you, but sometimes I even think that I'm being had over somewhere. That someone's trying to mug me off, that this is all a game, that there's something else going on. And all of a sudden, your mind can be going in all different directions, and it can seem as if you're living in a movie. But here we are, in an actual war against an invisible enemy. That's the reality. We're in an actual war with an enemy that we can't see. It's invisible. But the truth is this. The truth is that we've always been fighting invisible enemies. Christians know this, but sadly many have forgotten this truth and they need to wake up because there's a couple of enemies that are invisible that we've always been fighting and we need to concentrate on getting these right now. Firstly, there's what the Bible calls sin. Sin. This is a spiritual virus that's unseen and it is deadly in 100% of cases. The only known cure to sin, the virus of sin, is turning to God in humility and believing the truth about Jesus Christ, that he actually is God and he became a sacrificial offering to release to us the cure, the only known cure to sin, which is forgiveness and which is becoming part of the family of God through Jesus Christ. You do that by asking for forgiveness, understanding that you've got that virus and you need a cure. Then you actually really do something about it. You pray, you ask, you repent, and then something amazing happens. And you become new. There's something new that comes. There's a new health inside you that comes. It's fresh. It's new. You can't explain it. You have to experience it for yourself. And then you're born again. The Bible says, born from above. You become a new creation. Old things pass away. All things become new. And you are saved. Then, secondly, there's another invisible enemy. It's celestial. Celestial means that it originates beyond our own space-time dimensions. We're terrestrial in nature. But there is a celestial enemy. If you want to go back on our Victory Outreach Manchester YouTube page to a series called The Giant Killers, then you can see what it is that we actually spoke about some of these invisible enemies, these celestial enemies. And these celestial enemies, you know, you've got the alien conspiracies, and technically they are alien, they're extraterrestrial, they're celestial, and they are fallen angels. They are people, created beings that came from outside our space-time. The Bible calls them angels and various other different names. And they are led by a creature called Satan. I make it clear that he's a creature, which means he's been created by God, the Creator. So he is not as powerful as God, but he's still very powerful. And he has at his beck and call all of these invisible spirits that operate throughout the world, and they tempt and they test and they afflict and they bring sickness sometimes, and they do all of these different things. And Satan, this created being, Satan, the adversary, does his best to oppose and overthrow all God's work and God's will for our lives. And he's been hitting people, he's been testing people, he's been distracting people. Even in the churches. So we end up measuring our spiritual success by the measurements and the metrics of the world around us, what we've got, how much we've got, how big our churches are, how much money we've got, and all of the things that ultimately don't really matter in eternity. The Bible gives us a cure to deal with that celestial, invisible celestial enemy as well. James chapter 4 verse 7 says, therefore submit yourself to God. Come under God. Humble yourself before God. And then you have to do something. Just as your body has to do something against the coronavirus and against all these other viruses, just as your white blood cells and all of your body's defense mechanisms have to do something, so we have to do something spiritually as well. And it says, resist the devil, Satan, and he will flee. But it only works when you're positioned right. Just like this coronavirus thing, man. If it's given by contact and it's given by close proximity, then submit to that. It's not a faith thing, not meeting together. It's not a faith thing. It's a wisdom thing. We have people in our congregations that have underlying issues. HIV, hepatitis. We have emphysema, lung conditions, heart conditions. And we don't want them to be catching a disease that could kill them just because we think that it's an affront to our faith not to meet together. It's wisdom, man. And let's work it. Let's work the problem. And that's what we're doing. Because there are some things that God says we're responsible for doing. Not the pastor's responsibility. It's not the government's responsibility. It's not your spouse's responsibility or your parents' responsibility. It's you personally, for yourself, that you have to position yourself right. You have to get your mind right. And then you have to do some stuff and resist some of the things that have been causing problems in your life. And when you do these things, that's when you begin to reset your future. I think it's pretty clear that the present, the time that we're living in right now, is not what we expected it to be. I didn't expect that in March, coming on into April, heading up towards Easter, when we're planning all of our big Easter outreaches, we're doing this and we're doing that, that as a church, all of a sudden, I'd be preaching to you online and a handful of people in our building that are filming. I didn't realize that we weren't going to be able to do this and do that. I didn't realize that flights were going to be cancelled and people were going to be losing their jobs en masse and the world was going to be in upheaval. Did you? I didn't think of that. I didn't see that coming. Who knew that the world today would be on lockdown? But here's the thing. Today was the future once. Today, the time that we're in, was the future once. Are you with me? One thing this season has proved is that the future that we envision can change dramatically, even overnight. And not everything is in our control. The key, I think, is to position yourselves and prepare. It's to sow when you can, so that later on you'll reap when things are out of your control to do anything else. One way, I believe, that we can guarantee the future is by putting it into the hands of Jesus. Corrie ten Boom, who is a woman in World War II that is a great woman of faith, and she wrote a book called The Hiding Place. You know, if you go to Amsterdam, you can even look for a house. It's very difficult to find. That's why it's called The Hiding Place. But she said this. Very, very true. She said this. She said, never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. The thing is, though, you have to know God. You have to be submitted to God. You have to be close to Him. You have to be focused on Him. And this is a wonderful time to be able to do that. It's a beautiful time to get back into prayer, to get back into the scripture, to get back into praying for people, to get back into doing the things that you know that you should have been doing, but other things got in the way and crept in and started to squeeze God out of our lives. But when we can know God in that way, in that intimate way once again, then we can trust Him with the future that is uncertain. Three things I want you to do to prepare for tomorrow. I believe there's three things that we can do to prepare today for tomorrow. Number one, get right with God. Get right with God. This is necessary for people who know Jesus, as well as people who don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior. We can never ever fall into the trap of thinking that we don't have to put any effort into our relationships. I'm a married man. I'm happily married to the mother of my children. Wonderful woman of God. And we love each other and we're friends. And she's watching online with my family right now. And I love her. Vicky, I love you. Happy Mother's Day again in front of everyone in the world. I love you. Hallelujah. Amen. But I understand that even though we love each other, that love is not just a feeling. Some of you know, feelings come and feelings go. It's actually something that you invest in. It's something that you take time to do. It's something that you put your best into. It's something that you sacrifice for. It's something that you give up some of your own ways to actually give to someone else. And we need to be doing that in our Christian faith and in our Christian walk. Sometimes, let's be honest, some people, they come to church once a week, open their Bible once a week, and want to be fed. Now, if you only fed physically once a week, what are you going to look like? How are you going to operate? You would not be in a healthy position. So we need to invest in our relationship with God. Get right with God. Get your priorities set. Put God first. And then when you do that, your life is going to take on a better rhythm and a better quality. You'll have quality of life. Even if you haven't got the quantity of things that you might have had, you're going to have quality in the things that you need. And then the Bible's very clear, Matthew 6, verse 33, it says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all the things that all the people are fighting for and queuing up for and going crazy for and looking stupid for out there in the shops and out there, God said he's going to provide all of those things for you. Some way, somehow, he's going to provide. It might be that as you invest in your relationships with God and your relationships with God's people, that maybe we can know that if anyone's in need and I've got more than I need, then I can share with you. Ain't that what the kingdom of God is all about? That's kingdom dynamics. That's kingdom economy. And that's what the Bible tells us to do. Learn about God. Learn about Jesus. Learn about him. Learn about his ways. It's a beautiful thing to get to know the one who created everything and is sovereign over everything. In John chapter 17, verse 3, Jesus, in his great prayer, he says this statement in verse 3. He says, this is the way to have eternal life, to know you, the only true and living God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. You want to know what eternal life is all about? You want to know what the future and how it can be guaranteed eternally? There's only one way, and that's through Jesus Christ. So get right with God. If you're here watching right now and you've never ever given your heart or your life to Jesus Christ, today is the day of salvation. You can do it in your home. You can pray with someone right now. You can get on the phone and you can begin to pray. God is everywhere. He can come and be with you right where you're at right now. Don't wait. Don't delay. Do it today. The second thing that we can do in a time like this is stay connected. Stay connected. The writer to the Hebrews, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 23 through 25, says this. It's very clear, very, very clear. He says, let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm. We've got hope that our future is in his hands. Let us hold tightly to that. For God can be trusted to keep his promise. If he says he's going to be with you, he's going to be with you. If he says he's going to provide for you, he's going to provide for you. If he says he's never going to leave you, then he's never going to leave you. Hold tightly to that. Then he says this. He says, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. Isn't that so true for right now? What about your elderly neighbors? What about the people in your street? What about people that you know? How is it that we can help out? How can we help the nurses and the doctors? How can we help out? We've all seen on social media that poor nurse who'd worked 40 hours or whatever it was, shift, and came and went, tried to go shopping and couldn't find anything because everyone else had hoarded it. How can we help those people? How can we help? How can we spur each other on? Let's get some groups together. Let's do some kids Zooms and some impact Zooms and gang Zooms and prayer Zooms. And let's meet together. Let's phone people. Let's FaceTime. Let's ask if people have any needs. If you've got more than you need, help someone else. How can we do this? What can we do? Make sure that people are not lonely. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another. You know, this is not an excuse just not to go to church and let your faith take a holiday. That would be the worst thing to do in this season. Because wherever you sow in this season, you're going to reap when you come out of it. So this is the time to gather together. This is the time to continue to be the church. That's why I'm so glad that people are tuning in on Facebook. And all my friends and my peers and my brothers in churches all around the world, I commend you. Let's do this. Let's do this. Let's not let this go, man. And those of you that say you're the church, remember to keep on, turn up, tune in, and give. Don't forget to give. And we know that that financial uncertainty is out there. And if that's so, then be sensible. But also, this is not a time to let go of your faithfulness. Remember what I've said before. Faith is when you trust God. Faithfulness is when you can be trusted. And we need to be faithful because our churches, when this comes out and we can actually meet again, because how many of you know, I believe that we're going to come through this and one day we're going to meet together and we're going to be bigger and better than ever because people are going to be grateful that they can hug. Come on now. Grateful you can give someone a high five. Grateful that you can speak, get out of your house. But we want to make sure that our churches are still open, that we've not gone under, that we're not gone out of business. Remember that. Let's meet together and encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. That's how that scripture finishes off. And I don't know about you, but the signs of the times, there's earthquakes in Zagreb, there's earthquakes in California, there's pandemics, there's locusts in Africa, there's bushfires in Australia. And I know that we can see everything because of the media and social media, but how many of you know there's a lot of stuff going on, man? And I don't know, but Jesus is closer to returning now than he's ever been. Look for ways to help others. Be relational. Press into your faith like never before. Connect with God. Connect with people. Don't fall away. Become the warrior that you were called to be. You're a warrior. You're a soldier in his army. You're a warrior. You're an overcomer. You've got this. And then number three, the third thing that we can do is pray for revival. Pray for revival at this time. There are sadly many people in the world who are not going to pay attention to the signs of the times. They're just going to try and buckle down, go on business as usual. They're going to stay locked up in their bubble of selfishness and ungodly living. I don't believe this scripture that I'm about to read is about the coronavirus necessarily, but it shows where many people in our world stand, even today, right now. Revelation chapter 9, verse 20 to 21, it says this. It says, but the people who did not die in these plagues still refuse to repent of their evil deeds and turn to God. They continue to worship demons and idols made of gold and silver, bronze, stone and wood, idols that can neither see nor hear nor walk. And they did not repent of their murders or their witchcraft or their sexual immorality or their thefts. Some people are just not going to get it. But we need to pray that as many people as can be touched at this time for God will be touched at this time for God. You know, I'm going to share something with you I've never shared with anyone, really. I think maybe one or two people. It's been very personal. Happened again today. Since last December, I've had the privilege to preach at three major international conferences and gatherings in Cape Town, South Africa, in Mexico, and also in Amsterdam, Holland. Beautiful conferences. People from all over came together. I had the privilege and the honor to be able to be one of the preachers. And at each one, I began in prayer, and something happened that almost stopped me from being able to continue. I think I've only ever told Vicky this. I don't want people to think I'm weird. As I prayed, and you know, I went through a tough season last year, but came through it. God took me through it. But when it was in these conferences, I was still in the midst of a lot of it. But as I prayed, opening up, I prayed these words. They just came to me. I said, Jesus, may our lives be a reward for your sacrifice. As I prayed, something happened. I sensed Jesus standing at the back of the auditorium, watching. I didn't physically see him, but I knew he was there. And I sense it again. The emotion, it kind of unmanned you. I nearly fell apart in those conferences and couldn't speak. And even now I sense that God is doing something. And it's only the release of his grace, really, that enables you to go on. The Lord is very near right now. And he wants us to live in such a way that we give him a reward for his sacrifice. In Cape Town, I spoke about the Great Commission and keeping it moving forward in the right direction, that it's up to us in every generation. It's not just a geographical thing, it's also a generational thing. There's our impactors, there's our new gen, there's our gang, there's our kids, there's people that got saved right now, and there's people that got saved 50 years ago that are all part of this thing. This Great Commission going forward is God's plan A, and it goes all the way through the alphabet. There's one plan, and it's to go into the world and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that he has commanded. And he says, I will be with you until the end of the age. I spoke about that in Cape Town. Then in Mexico, that was in December. Then in January in Mexico, I spoke about the sons of Issachar. These were messages God gave me. I spoke about the sons of Issachar. They were a tribe of Israelites, and they had an anointing that they would know the times and the seasons. They would understand the times and the seasons, and they would know what to do. And I said in Mexico, I said, we've got to know what season we're coming into. There's adjustments we might need to make. There's things we got to be looking out for. There's things that might change. And I spoke about that in Mexico. Then in Amsterdam, I spoke about revival. I also said that there is going to be a testing that comes. People are going to be tested, because unless your faith is tested, then it can't be trusted. And God wants to know who can be trusted at a time like this to carry his glory into the world. He wants to know who is going to be there, who's going to be prepared, who's going to be right there. And it comes from submitting to his promises, coming under his word and saying, here I am, God, use me. I believe that after we come out of the worst of this crisis, we are going to see one of the biggest awakenings, if not the biggest awakening to salvation through Jesus Christ that we've ever seen. But it's dependent. It's dependent on something. And I believe that this has prophetic power right now. I'm not a prophet. I don't claim to be a prophet. God's word is prophetic. But I believe that there is something that we can harness at this time that's going to help us going forward. I was looking at this term, pandemic. Pandemic comes from Greek, two Greek words. Pan, which means all, everywhere. And demos, which speaks of the people. So it's a term that has been coined by disease experts when epidemics are growing in multiple countries and continents at the same time. So it's when something has gone from being local to being all over the world at the same time. It's called a pandemic. It's everywhere, to all the people are being affected by this thing. The term epidemic is different. It's used to describe an outbreak that has grown out of control, yet is still limited to just one country or location. This is what I believe that the Lord was showing me. I think in our generation, in my generation, I've been saved 25 years, in my generation, we've seen some epidemics of revival. We've seen some people turning to Jesus in different places. Sometimes there's a powerful outbreak, an outpouring somewhere, but it's generally in a limited location. It might be in one church, one city, might be in one nation. It's more of an epidemic of revival. But we haven't seen a wave of salvation affecting the whole world at one time, not since I've been saved. But I believe that it's possible right now. I believe that from this time of trouble, from this time where people are suffering all over the world at the same time in the same way, I believe that there is a possibility that God can release this pandemic of revival. And it's going to start. And forgive me for using this word pandemic, but let's take the power away from it being fearful. It's just a word. It has a meaning. I believe that it's going to start with a pandemic of prayer. that if everyone everywhere starts to pray for revival, starts to cry out to God, not just for their own thing, but for God's thing to come upon the world, that everyone would be affected, that something's going to take place. Imagine people everywhere slowed down from the hectic pace of modern life, taking time to cry out to God, to forgive and save and heal and transform our lives, our families, our cities, our nations, and our generation. Imagine what could take place. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 13, and I'm closing right now. From verse 13 to verse 15 says this, and this is God saying it. You know, sometimes you have to look at your theology and understand that sometimes God does these things to get people's attention. He says, when I shut up heaven and there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people. These things we're seeing. We're seeing stuff take place like this. He says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Then he said, now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive. He's going to be listening. He's going to be watching. He's going to be listening to prayer made in this place. It don't have to be the church. You are the church. Right where you're at right now is your church. It's the place of holiness. It's the place where you're meeting with God. Make that a house of prayer. Let it be a hub. Let it be a hot spot. Let it be a place where prayer rises up for your neighbors, for your friends, for your family, for your city, for your nation, for your generation, and cry out to God and say, you know what, Jesus, we need you right now. Come and have your way. Come and do what it is you want to do. Touch me, fill me, refresh me, heal me. Imagine what can happen. Once upon a time, today was the future. And here we are. Were you prepared for it? Because I don't think I was. Not physically, not materially, but spiritually, I think that we've got this. We've got this. God's got this. What you do now can prepare you for the different world that we're about to face when this season is done. Things ain't going to be the same again. It's going to be different. Oh yeah, sure, things will bounce back, but it's going to be different. But are you going to be different? Is your future going to be different? Or are you just going to bounce back to that boring, old, dead, dry business as usual, same old that you've always had? So press the reset button. Make a change. Do it now. Let's pray. All over the place, wherever you are right now, just focus in, and we just want to pray right now. If God's spoken to your heart, just begin to pray right now. Just take a moment. Begin to pray. First thing I want to pray, if there's anyone out there watching, looking in, maybe you've never been around a church before. This is an unusual time, man. This is an unusual type of thing that we're doing. But you're there right now, and I pray that the Spirit of God is warming your heart, is touching you, is showing you that He loves you. God loves you, but He wants you to turn to Him. What are you waiting for? Today is the day of salvation. If that's you right now, I want you to pray and give your heart to Jesus. Surrender to Him. Surrender your future to the hands of the one that will guarantee that he'll never leave you, that he'll love you, he'll forgive you, he'll change you, he'll help you, he'll heal you, he'll provide for you, he'll protect you. That's been my experience for 25 years. Ups and downs and ins and outs, bad things have happened, but God has always been good. Pray this with me right now. If you're with someone right now, help them to pray. Say, Lord Jesus Christ. Come and say it out loud. Lord Jesus Christ, I believe that you are the only Savior. And I think I need saving. So, Lord, would you forgive me of all the things I've done that have not been your will for my life? Lord, would you set me free? Would you love me? Would you save me? And would you be with me forever? I give my life to you. I give you all my wrongs. Jesus, would you give your life to me and give me all your rights? I want to be born again. I want to be made new. I receive this by faith in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you prayed a prayer similar to that, if you're with someone, then they can pray for you too. The Bible says in Romans that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, you believe in your heart that God rose him from the dead, then you shall be saved. Learn about Jesus. Find out about Jesus. Get to know Jesus. And he's going to make your life beautiful. And he's going to make it worth living once again. And now I want to pray for every single one of you out there. I want to pray for the mums, that you will be blessed. I want to pray for the children, that you will be blessed. I want to pray for all the workers that are still in the front line, that you will be blessed. Would you help me? Would you join with me all over the place right now? I don't have to hear you to feel you. I don't have to hear you to trust that you're lifting up prayer all over the place right now, in your houses. Come on, let them be a hub of prayer. Begin to cry out for your loved ones, for the protection of your elderly relatives, for the hospitals, for the supply lines, that there's going to be enough in the stores. Begin to pray for the things that really make sense, that really are needed right now. Begin to pray for the people down your street. Begin to pray for the kids. Begin to pray for the parents. Begin to pray that people, that even if the ones that have lost their jobs are not going to lose their house, they're not going to lose their hope, they're not going to lose their livelihood. Pray for the ones that are out there on the streets. I pray especially for the addicts right now. This is a messed up time for them. And I believe that this is a time that they can be set free and that they can come to know Jesus Christ and be set free from addiction. Pray for all of the parents out there, God, that you will bless them at this time. That you will show them how to do the things that have been thrust upon them. We pray for your grace. We pray for your mercy in the name of Jesus. We pray that every mum would know she's special. We pray for those that have lost their mothers, lost their parents, oh God, that their grief, oh God, that they would have comfort at that time. And even now, as it raises up again, at this time, that you would comfort them. Lord, I pray, even though I know that this is controversial, I pray for those who are born again right now, that maybe in their past lives had abortions, God. I pray for those that the guilt and the shame and the pain would come under your blood and that those children would be waiting for them in eternity. My God, I pray right now for revival in our nation. I pray revival in our cities. I pray awaken your people, oh God. I pray release the fire of your Holy Spirit. I pray release your love to cast out fear. I pray, oh God, that people's passion would come back. Passion for Jesus. Passion to do your will. Shall we sing one song of worship before we close? Let's worship together. I'm just going to hand over right now to our worship team. Join in with us right where you're at. Sing out. Sing out. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. Today is the day of the Lord.
Victory Outreach Manchester is a family in the city, and we are here for you. Go to vomanchester.org for more information.